chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. And we're going to begin reading today in verse number 9. Last week, we looked at how to produce fruit, or how we should be. And today, we're going to be looking at the secret to having a life full of joy. The secret to having a life full of joy. And man, the interesting thing about that, as we talk about the secret to having a life full of joy, is that everybody is seeking that. Everybody here today wants to have a life full of joy. And we seek it in many different ways. There are people that seek a life full of joy through their family, through their spouse, and through their children, through their grandchildren. And they want that to be the source of their joy. There are those that look for joy in material things. Man, they want to go on the trips, and they want to have boats, and they want to have cars, and they want to have houses and lands, and all those things. The people that seek joy in their career and climbing the corporate ladder. There are, whether you believe it or not, those that are addicted to things, you know why they take those things? Because they're looking for joy. They're looking for peace. They're looking for happiness. Even the people that end up taking their own life, do you know why they took their life? They're looking for joy. They're looking for things to end, and they think that this will bring it to them. But I want you to know, none of those things are really where we find true joy. We're going to see what Jesus said about it today in John chapter 15. So look with me in verse number 9. It said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father I've made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I chose you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask in the Father of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you today on this beautiful day that you've made. And God, I know that there are thousands of days that came before this one, and we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we just want to be grateful and live in today. And God, you've given us this time, and God, we want to worship you in spirit and truth. And God, I pray today as we look into your word, you would show us the way to having a life full of joy. I pray you would help us to be people that want to love one another and love you and love as you told us to. And God, we'll give you the glory for all the things that you do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we said, people are looking for joy. And I got good news for you today. God wants you to have a life full of joy. That's what he wants. And I don't know, you say, what does that word joy even mean? I really don't like when people like to split hairs over it. But joy means to be happy. It means to be fulfilled. It means to be at peace. And God wants every single one of us to be happy and fulfilled and at peace. That's what he desires for you in your life. And so that is good news today. And you say, well, how do we do that? Well, Jesus told us how. And the secret to living a life that is happy and fulfilled and peaceful is that we have to be people of love. Love is the way. And when we talk about love being the way, we have to love how God told us to love. You see, we might do things and act a certain way and call it love, but is it God's way? Is it His way of loving people? And then not only that, not only do we have to consider is it God's way of loving, but love is the most important thing. The Bible says this. He said, though, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, I can have everything and not have love, and then I have nothing. He said this. He said that faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love. That's the greatest thing. And so love is this powerful force. Love is the key to you having a life full of joy. And man, when I think about that, and I think about God's love, number one is that God's love was a seeking love. It's a seeking love. When God the Father created, man, you ever think about sometimes when God was God and there wasn't nothing else? That kind of blows my mind. I like to think on that for about 1 second and then move on because I can't dwell on that. But there was a time when God was God and there wasn't nothing else. And God created the heavens and the earth, and He created all things, and He created mankind, and He put them in the garden. And you know why God did all that? Because God was seeking a people to love, and He was seeking some people to love Him. Man, when you think about God, He didn't want to just create a bunch of people. He didn't want to create just a bunch of people and force them to love Him. No, what He has here today in me and you is some people that have chose to love God for who He is because of His goodness. But He was seeking people to love. And here's the bad news today. We have to be seeking people to love. Do y'all know that people are problematic? Do y'all know that people are complicated and they're confusing and all those things? Well, we have to be seeking people to love. You say, what kind of people? Well, all kinds of people. We're going to talk about them here in a minute. All different kinds. But listen, although we need to be seeking all different types of people to love, we're not to love all people. And what I mean by that is you can't invest in everybody. We're about to have missions conference, and we got missionaries coming that are going to the Ukraine. I might live the rest of my life and never go to the Ukraine. Okay, so I can't love everybody in the Ukraine. I might never meet them. And man, I even think about Washington Parish. You know, this is a small place. I don't know if y'all know now. I used to tell people when I was in the Air Force that it was the capital of the universe, and nobody believed me. But I want you to know it's a small place, but y'all know what? There's a lot of people that I don't know in Washington Parish. I've never met them. I might not have ever seen them. I don't know their names. They don't know me. I can't love everybody. And Jesus, by the way, didn't. He would go to a place where there was a lot of people sick, and He might heal one or two, and then there was some people that stayed sick. He called 12 disciples. He didn't call a billion. He called 12. And so I want you to understand, you're not going to be able to love everybody. You're not going to be able to. If Jesus could only pour His life into 12 guys, I don't know what makes you think that you're going to do more than the Son of God did. But we need to love all kinds of people, and we need to love people in our life, and you need to be seeking it. You need to be making it happen. We shouldn't be just sitting back. Here's what some people do. They just sit back and wait for it to happen. Okay? You got to go make some things happen in your life. We've all heard the little story of the guy who, man, the National Guard came by his house and said, "Sir, there's about to be a flood here, and we need you to evacuate." And he said, "I'm just going to wait on the Lord." He said, "Okay." And then the floodwaters came, and had to go to the second story of his house, and a boat come by and said, "Sir, you know, the floodwaters are here." And he said, "I'm just going to wait on the Lord. He's going to take care of it." And then next thing you know, he had to get on his roof and a helicopter come by, and he said, "I'm going to wait on the Lord." And then he died in the flood, and he went to heaven, and he said, "God, I was waiting on you." And God said, "Well, I sent the National Guard, and I sent a boat, and I sent a helicopter, and you wouldn't take the hint." And there are some people that are just waiting on the Lord, and we got to make some things happen in our life. And so you say, what type of people do I need to look for to love in my life? Well, number one, you need to look for some people to love and invest in that can help you. You know, the disciples helped the Lord. You know what they did when he died? He gave Peter and then he said, hey, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. And I need you to take it and I need you to go with it. Okay? We need to look for some people in our life that we can love that can help us. We need some people that are above where we want to be. We need some people that you say, hey, listen, if you only are around people that are as close to God as you are, or as mature in the faith as you are, or less, that is your ceiling. You know why some people never go above a place in life? Because their friends are not above that. You got to get some people above you. And say, these people can help me. These people have done it. You know, I think about pastoring a church and doing different things that I do. I look for people that I can bring into my life that have done more than me, that are smarter than me, that have been more successful than me. And I want to sit at their table. So you need some people in your life that have success, that have done some things that you want to do, that are doing things better than you're doing them now. And put those people in your life. My basketball coaching high school coach Martin used to always tell us, he said, guys, if your friends go to church, you'll go to church. And if your friends go to jail, you'll go to jail. And our life is often about the people we are. And I want you to know, your friends are your ceiling. That's where you're going to go. If you get some people up here, hey, you're going to have room to grow. And so you better put some people in your life that can help you, that can take you to the next level, that can take you where you want to go. So find those people and love them and invest in them. You also need to find some people, number two, not only people that can help you, but you need to love some people that you can help. I go back to the disciples. You know, Jesus spent 3 years with these 12 guys. You know what he did? He helped them. They needed him. He could bring them up. You do need some people below you that you're trying to invest in, that you're trying to love, that you're trying to bring up to another level. And so find those people that you can mentor. We need mentors. We need leaders. We need people that can give us advice, but we gotta look down the ladder as well. So not only just look up the ladder and say, hey, I need some people that are bringing me up, but look down the ladder and say, hey, I can help these people come on with me. That's what Jesus did. The third group we need to look at and find people to love is difficult, unlovable, sinful people. Now, you might not want to find any of these people, but Jesus did. I think about the madman of Gadara. Can I tell you a little secret? The madman of Gadara, he was living in the cemetery, naked, and out of his mind. Now, I don't know about you, but Brother Derek would have probably said, let's go to the other side of the street and avoid the madman of Gadara, right? And I'm not saying that you need to go and befriend the naked man in the cemetery who is outside of his mind. But I am saying that you need to find some people that you say, hey, this guy or this lady needs some help. They're difficult. They don't get it. You know, all those things, but they, guess what? They need somebody to love them. I'm not saying it's definitely going to be you, but it might be you. And if somebody walks into your life like that, who's difficult and has some problems and has some issues, we need to love them. You know why we need to love difficult people with issues? Because you are a difficult person with issues. And some of you say today, I don't have issues. Well, let me tell you what, that's why they're called blind spots. You can't see it. Everybody else can see it. You can't see it. But you have some issues. And people love you. And they love. And by the way, Jesus loves you with all your faults, with all your issues, with all your problems. He loves you. And so you need to love some difficult people. We need to love sinful people. I think about the woman that they brought to Jesus caught in the very act of adultery. And he told this woman caught in the very act of adultery who he said, hey, you've been with five men. None of them are your husbands. I know your story. He said, where are your accusers? They're gone. I don't accuse you either. Get up and sin no more. And everybody else wanted to stone the lady. She was a sinner. And Jesus didn't say she wasn't, but he loved her. He loved her. And you know why we need to love sinners? Because we're sinners. And we need to love sinners because Jesus loves sinners. And I think about us, you know, as Christians, it's so amazing. Christians are some of the only people that kill their own wounded. Hey, somebody sins, hey, we just kill them. Hey, you're out of here. Oh, we throw you out. We're more righteous than everybody. No, we're sinners. And I always tell y'all, if you might have been coming to church for a while and you look nice today, man, we love you. But I promise you, you've got some, everybody's got some skeletons in their closet, and everybody's got some days that they're glad are gone, and everybody's got some moments that they wish never happened, and all that stuff, and you don't want it brought up today, and neither do I, but we need to love people that are sinners, because Jesus loved sinners. The Bible says that they accused him of sitting and eating with sinners, and so should we. I'm not saying we should sin with sinners, or that we should condone what they do, but we need to love them. We also need to help people that can't help us at all. Jesus attended to the sick. He attended to the poor. He attended to children who couldn't do him anything. They could never return the favor. They would never help him maybe in any way. And sometimes there's going to be some people in your life who you're going to have to love who are never going to help you. They're never going to do anything for you because they're not going to be able to. They might be poor. They might be sickly. It might be children. It might be whatever it is. You need to love some people that cannot help you in any way. And then the last thing I would say is you need to love some people that you connect with. We all can't minister to everybody. There are some people, you know, I teach at the school, and it used to really bother me sometimes that I couldn't connect with everybody. We're just not on the same level. We don't have the same likes. We don't have this. And I feel like I can talk to nearly anybody about anything. But I think about Jesus. Would y'all all agree that Jesus was pretty close with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and that family? And they're kind of special. You know why? Because he had some kind of connection with them. Even within the disciples, we could look at Jesus and Peter and James and John, and they were a little closer to Jesus because he had a connection with them. And there's going to be some people in your life who you connect with, that you hit it off with, who you're friends with. They understand you, and you understand them. And we'll talk about those maybe here in a little bit, but you need to find those people. So be seeking out those people. Seeking people that can help you. Who are the people that you would look at in your life and say, these people are my ceiling, I'm going to where they are? And can I tell you a secret? When you get where they are, you need to find some people above that and say, I'm gonna go up again. Find some people in your life that you can help. Hey, I'm above where they are, and they need some help. Find those that are troubled. Find those that are sinful. So seek them out. Now, what type of love is this? How should we love them? Well, God's love is a serving love. When I think back to the Father, it said back in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, and you continue in my love. Let's go back to creation for a minute. You know what God does? God serves us every day. Every day. I woke up this morning, and the windshield of my vehicle was iced over. And when the sun hit it, the ice went away. And man, I thought about God bringing that sun up and providing that. And man, God is so good. You know, we're about to eat here in a little while. You know how good God is? If you don't like beef, well, he gave us pork. And if you don't like pork, he gave us chicken. And if you don't like chicken, he gave us fish. And if you don't like any meat, we can't help you. Amen. We don't know what your problem is. But, man, he gave us all the vegetables, and he gave us all the fruit, and he's gave us all these different things. I think about the animals out there in the wild. You know, there ain't no deer McDonald's, right? They don't go to McDonald's, but God feeds them every day. And the Bible says the birds don't plant, and they don't sow and reap, but they eat every day. And God just provides, and he serves, and he gives. And Our love should be a doing love. You know, love does. And Jesus did. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He took the towel and girded it about himself and took the basin of water and stooped down and washed their feet. He healed the sick and the lame and the blind and the deaf. He fed the hungry. I think about the 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And he said, we got to feed them. We got to take care of them. He visited the afflicted. He taught his ways. In order to be great in this life, you've got to serve. And in order to serve, you got to love. And that's what Jesus did. And that is the love of God. Now, here's my question to you today. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Do you serve Jesus? Are you in love with him? If you serve Jesus, I would ask you, how do you serve him? What do you do for him? What do you do for him? I was watching a show last night. It was about Gandhi. Gandhi is the guy who liberated India through peace and nonviolence. And I was watching it. He was in this meeting with these nation of India bigwigs. And there was a butler there with the tea or whatnot. And Gandhi got up and took it from him and said, you can leave. And he began to serve all the leaders the tea. And it was just like kind of like the story of Jesus. One of them said, I'll do that. And he said, no. But again, it's about service. God's love is a love of service. And how are you serving Jesus? And again, I hate to tell you this, but we're in the people business. And we serve Jesus through serving others. He told us in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. And we have to, and if God serves us, and if Jesus served others, he said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And that's what we all ought to come today with the mindset, and every day we get up, we ought to say, I didn't get up to get served, I got up to serve. I got up to do something for other people. Those people that we're looking for, we need to say, you know, the people that we're looking for to love, you say, how do I serve those people? I think about my own life. I can only talk about me. I get to pastor this church, and I get to serve you. I get to serve you through preaching His Word. I get to serve you through ministering and through counseling and through being there. And I don't always do a great job, but that's what I get to do. And I want to serve you the best I can. And look, I know it's hard. Sometimes, did y'all know that you can't meet everybody's expectations? Everybody's not going to be happy with what you do, but I get to serve. And God gave us the church. Can you imagine how little we would serve if we didn't have a church? Think about this. Y'all come most every week, and man, we talk about witnessing and evangelism. How much of it do you do? How much less would you do if we didn't have the church? And so God gives us that. I get to go and teach at Ben Sword School. It's another place I get to minister and serve. Somebody said yesterday, they said, you know, they were saying like I basically didn't have to work at the school, or there's a way that I wouldn't have to. And I said, no, I don't have to. I said, I remind them of that from time to time too. Like, I can not be here and that'd be fine, and I can go somewhere else. But, I get to serve at the school, and I get to minister to kids and the staff, the parents, and I like that. And, we started a basketball league in Bogalusa. There's 160 kids playing in it. Their families there. We were there all day yesterday, and I get to serve there. And I got people, that I get to, you know, I send out texts every Saturday. I got other preachers. I've got people that call me and all that. And so there's plenty of people I get to serve. But the question for you today is, what do you do? And how do you do it? How do you serve these people? You need to look at that. Now, the next thing is, not only is it a serving love, but it's a sacrificial love. There is a no pain, no gain type of situation to this love, all right? Can I tell y'all a little secret, and y'all already know this? Love hurts. Love hurts. If you've ever been hurt by love, you know that. And we're going to talk about, man, think about the Father. You know what the Father did? The Father gave His Son. Jesus gave up glory to come and be born of a virgin in a manger and live a very poor and humble, lowly life. Jesus gave up His life on the cross of Calvary for us. And love is a sacrificial love, you're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to give some things. You got to give of your time. You know, my time is my most precious commodity. I heard someone say this the other day. They said it's good to think of yourself. They were talking about what's his name, Warren Buffett. You know, I think Warren Buffett's probably close to 90 years old, and he's one of the richest people in the world. And but they said I'm a time billionaire where he's time poor. In other words, his days are numbered. He don't have much longer left to live, and I got a lot of time left to live. And time's important to me. Man, I spend a lot of time doing a lot of service. I'm in the midst right now of, I'm in the middle of it, but I'm going to go 69 days, and I will be doing something for 67 of them. Okay, I got 2 days off in 69 days, and here's the bad news. They already happened, so they're over, and I don't have another one till after mission conference. I'll be doing something every day till then, so time is important. And but hey, if you're going to serve, you're going to give up some time. Somebody asked me yesterday, our league in Bogalusa has grown, like I said, 160 kids, 19 teams were there all day, and somebody asked me yesterday, they said, why wasn't there already a league in Bogalusa? And I said, it's easier to not do anything. It's easier to just stay home. Hey, let's just don't do it. You know? And so if you're going to serve, you're going to give up time. If you come to church, you're going to give up time. Whatever you do, you're going to give up some time. And so you're going to have to give time to serve. You're going to have to give up your treasures. You're going to have to put sometimes your money where your mouth is. And you're going to have to invest in some things and give toward them. You're going to have to give your talents. But back to this being a sacrificial love, let me tell you what else you're going to get. Now, again, it's a no pain, no gain. When you give and you serve and you do and you love people and you love the way Jesus loves, and you love people that can help you, and you love people that you can help, and you love the unlovable and the difficult and the sinful, and you love different people, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get criticized. You're going to get criticized. You know who doesn't get criticized? People that do nothing. And so, good for you. You avoided criticism, but no one knows who you are, and no one knows what you do, and you don't. You know, but if you do anything, you're gonna get criticized. That's just like that. I keep going back to the league because we were there yesterday, and we were talking about the other league outside, and people complain about the referees at Little League. And I told somebody yesterday, I said, if you think I got NBA referees that I'm turning away to come and referee these games, you're wrong. I said, you see that guy who's refereeing there? I said, he was my sixth phone call, and thank God he's here, right? But again, why don't you have better referees? Well, why don't you referee? You know what I mean? That's what happens. You get criticized. I always like the old line, I like it the way I did it better than the way you didn't do it. But that's what you're going to do. By the way, I've been pastoring here for 16 years. Can I tell you a little secret about pastoring? I've been pastoring 16 years. I've had people tell me I preach too short. All of you say, not true. Amen. Keep it, you know. And then I've had people say I preach too long. And I've had people say I'm too conservative. I've had people say I'm too liberal. Again, you can't please everybody. You're going to be criticized for what you do. You preach too hard. You preach too soft. Blah, blah, blah. Right? That's what's going to happen. You're going to get criticized. You serve people. You love people. All those things. It's just going to happen. Can I tell you another thing? If you want to love like Jesus loved, you're going to get rejected. Do y'all know a little secret? Jesus died for Osama bin Laden. He died for his sins. He went to the cross so Osama bin Laden couldn't be saved. Can I tell you something? Osama bin Laden didn't love Jesus. He rejected him. He said, you're not real. You're a false prophet. You're this. And he pledged his life to destroying the church. And Jesus loved a lot of people that rejected him. And if you love people, I got bad news for you. Some of them are going to reject your love. Isn't that fun? Hey, I want to love you. No thanks. Oh, man. Hey, I wanted to help. I wanted to do. No. That's what happens with love. Can I tell you another thing? This is a tough one. And y'all all know this today because I know that most of you have done it. If you love people, you will get misused. That's why so many people don't want to love anybody. they're going to misuse you. I see it now. You know, I see the deadbeat dad who isn't involved in their kids' lives at all. I see them take a picture on Facebook with them and say, "Love my kid." See you again in 6 months. And you go, wow, right? People are going to misuse you. They're going to take from you. Hey, they'll drain you of your energy. They'll deplete your resources. And they'll delete you from your life as soon as they don't need you anymore. Sign me up for that. Well, that's what people do to Jesus, by the way. We live in the Bible Belt. You know what a lot of people did? 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Now I'm saved and I ain't going to hell no more and I'm never going back to church. Thank you, Jesus, for getting me out of hell. And I'll never see you again till I get to heaven and I need you. That's what people do, right? And it's tough. It's tough. I pastored, man. I had a family came here for a couple of weeks. Some kids, little kids, woman, didn't know who they were. They were coming, saying they were needy. And had the dad pulled up one day, said he was leaving to go to Colorado to work on a land rig, and that but they had been struggling. And couldn't, it was in the wintertime. He said, "My son just died, and I spent all of our money paying for his funeral." He said, "And I need $400 to pay our light bill so I can keep the lights on while I'm away." And I go and I get him $400 and I give it to him to pay his light bill. Come to find out, I preached his child's funeral. His son did die. And he wasn't at the funeral. He wasn't nowhere to be seen. Didn't show up for his own child's funeral. He was the deadbeat dad who had left these people. His son had problems. He died when he was 5. He had some issues, but left him. And so you say, man, you try to love and give you some money and take care of you, and people will misuse you. You know what it makes you want to do? I had someone come in to the church right here. They come and got me. "Brother Derek, somebody needs to see you." This was during the singing. And I go out there and they said, "We need some money." And I said, well, good. I said, "Well, here, I'll give you some." And I said, y'all come into church. And I gave them the money. And I go back. I see them drive off. I wanted to be like, somebody get up here while I go and get my money back from these low lifes. Right? That's what I wanted to do. I'm just telling you. I'm just warning you. If you love people, they're going to misuse you. They'll, you know, and you want to say, "You sorry, no good for nothing. After all I did for you, this is what I get in return." Get ready for it. Jesus does it. He loves unconditionally. He loves people because they need to be loved. Okay? Again, you're going to have to love some people that ain't going to help you. And so it's a sacrificial love. But I do want you to know this. Here's the other thing you get. You get honor. And you get praise. And you get some real, true, genuine friends that love you. You know what Jesus has today? He's got billions of people that worship him. He's got billions of people who love him, who will die for him, who pledge their life to him. And if you love people, will you get criticized? Yes. Will you get misused? Yes. But you will have some people in your life who will love you, who will cherish you, who will honor you, who will go and do anything for you. And that is what you get from loving. No pain, no gain. We got to go through some pain. We got to go through some difficulties to get the things that God gives us. I'll tell you this and we'll be done. Our family has I've told you before, a Christmas Eve tradition. I love the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Some of you have never seen it, and if you haven't, you should see it. But the family tradition is we all get home, I cut on A Wonderful Life. 5 minutes later, everyone is left but me. No one wants to watch it. Caden, I think, told me, "It's not even in color. What is this?" He said, "This is a gray." Well, everybody's in gray. What are we doing here? But the idea of the movie is George Bailey, the main character, stays in this little town of Bedford Falls. And he helps people, the townspeople. They go through ups and downs. And at the end, he's about to be bankrupt. And the whole town comes together, rallies their money up, brings it to him, and saves him, and saves the deal. And his brother, who got to go off and live his life, he said at the end of the movie, he said, "I just want to give a toast to the richest man in town, my brother." And he was rich because he had friends, because he loved people. And in our life, if you'll love people and you'll get friends and you'll have people that will love you, that's just like us here today, man. We're going to go and eat and we're a family. And I'm so thankful to have been here as long as I have, and just got friends. Got people to care about me. I can make phone calls, get people to come and do. And so it's worth it all. It's worth it all. It's worth the criticism. It's worth the misuse. It's worth the heartache for the good things that lie ahead. Amen. And I do want to invite you over next door. We're going to have a fellowship today. Man, we want you to stay and eat with us. And